G'day golfers. Ever found yourself redirecting blame and making excuses after having an absolute shocker on a golf course? I know that I have. Range was closed, I was a little cold, didn't warm up, I hit it in those three old divots. Then we have the podcast for you. We focus on how to fundamentally own your swing. Strike it pure and consistently shoot in the 70s. Be it if you're a weekend hack, retired and playing daily, a school phenom, or a tour professional. We present and discuss facts and physics pertaining to golf, trying to keep our ego and opinion at bay. We dispel myths such as keep your head down, bend your knees, or my all-time favorite, game improvement irons. So stop drinking that mythical Kool-Aid and have a sip of ours. I think you'll find it both inspiring and refreshing. I'm Scott Young, founder of Swing, PGA professional and ex-tour player. And together with physical therapist, Dr. Sean Joyce, welcome to Pivot the Path. G'day golfers and good morning, SJ.
Good morning, Scotty. Good morning, everybody.
How are you, sir?
Doing good.
How's your week?
It's going well. We got a little treat ahead of us on Friday. So,
yes, we are getting our first round together.
Yeah.
Couldn't get you to stream song
because
you're
year.
Looking after everyone. And then I've had mum and my sister in town, so I've been out of commish for a week and a half.
Yeah. So Friday, we'll get out there. Right.
What are we actually haven't, what are we playing for? What are we, what's the handicap?
Something.
What are you actually playing right now?
I think around seven.
Seven?
At the moment.
Six, seven. So I'm off zero, but that's a bit, haven't played for a while. So
yeah. You
get nine shots.
Okay.
I think that's probably fair.
All right.
And what are we actually playing for?
That's a good question. I don't know. Could be lunch in the clubhouse afterwards.
Lunch in the clubhouse. Yeah. We might do lunch. What do you think?
Yeah, and then of course everyone else is gonna know. So
yes,
bit of bragging, pressure to perform.
Bragging rights. Holy moly, back on tour here.
Yeah.
So SJ and I are pumped. So we're gonna go play a local golf course, and it's a sick track.
Yeah.
And we'll I'm gonna hit some balls this week.
Yeah, get some practice in this week.
Yeah.
But it's that time of year. We're not quite there to, you know, the full season, but Masters coming up and there's a bit of a buzz. Everyone's in here.
I really like what we're trying to do. So the New York community, golf community, generally say, oh, it's nearly golf season. And we have got the other mindset of golf season never finishes. And so I love that everyone in here is starting to change their mindset and fundamentally will say, oh, you know, I've been playing throughout, I should hit the ground running come April. And I really love that Swing is one of the few institutions that are actually 12 months of the year playing golf, which is awesome.
Which is amazing. So I think this year, and this is a bit anecdotal, but I think people are starting, you know, there are other people who just don't touch club all winter.
Yeah.
Most people that we see in here on a regular basis, though, they haven't come in any less frequently since, you know, last summer. But I remember the last couple of years, Masters week hits, and then everyone all of a sudden's like, okay, let's get in there. But now, like, people, the last month, it's been getting a little more dense, more people coming in, you know, starting earlier.
Yeah,
mum and our eyes hopefully never stops the season.
Mum and Anna are in, my sister and my mum were in from Sydney, and they were gobsmacked yesterday how busy it is. And I'm like, it doesn't stop from 7 a.m. till 9, 8:30 p.m., where we literally have to say, okay, guys, I've got to get home.
Go home to your families.
They were gobsmacked how busy it was. And that's what, you know, you and I are creating in here is a community where golf never finishes.
Mm-mm.
It's not a 7 month of the year gig, obviously weather-based because of New York City.
Yeah.
But we are just changing the culture of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love that. You know, we're working really hard to create a whole different community around golf improvement, purely improvement.
Yeah.
So we have to play for it this week, Friday.
Yeah.
Game on.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So we'll report back. I think nine shots is fair.
Give it a shot.
Aside.
Yeah. Fun golf course too.
Great golf course. And the green, dependent on the greens. Like one thing I do get a little frustrated on when I play really shit greens.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they're okay. So if they're not, then we might have to adjust.
But and they just opened up.
They just opened up.
Last week.
They should be pretty good, but I don't mind sandy greens. I actually grew up in Australia playing some sandy, actual sand greens.
Really?
They're a trip there.
Oh, wow. I've never seen a sand green.
You rake it or you roll it or rake it if it's not really a rake. And you make it smooth before you putt. It's very bizarre.
Really?
Yeah, it's
before
very cool.
Before each putt, you
yeah,
have
before
to...
each putt. Yeah, it's very cool.
Do you have a little, like a tool in
your
bag?
Yeah, it's like a, this is going back 25 years. It's like a metal roller that's really heavy.
Okay.
And you walk along your line of the intended putt to smooth it.
Okay. Then when you putt, you hand the I don't know what it's called, and it's really heavy. And if you can make a channel, like if you know what to do, I played with some pretty cool people with sand
greens.
You
just groove it.
You can groove it a little bit. Yeah. I believe they just had the women's sand green championships. Now I'm pulling that out of my backside a little bit.
I had no idea this even existed.
Only a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I remember reading that. Anyway, we'll get back to you. We'll fact check that. But sand greens, couldn't recommend you make an effort to go play sand greens because they're a bit of a pain.
That's wild. Like, is there grass also?
No.
Sand? It's sand. Just sand.
In Australia, because it's so hot, I played out in Bourke, which is basically the middle of the country. We're talking, 120 degrees, and grass just doesn't grow, and there's no wind, there's no rain, so it's under drought conditions. But you actually have a good time. Like I'm
just trying to imagine this in my head. What about with like an approach shot? You know, full.
So you've got it. Yeah. So it obviously just buries it soon as it hits the sand. Yeah. So you've got to lob everything.
So you've got to fly everything there.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's an art. Like it's an absolute art.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Shout out Bourke Golf Club, middle of Australia.
Yeah, everyone start YouTubing sand greens, see what it looks
like. Actually, just a funny story. I was still an apprentice. So in our apprenticeship, we had to have 3 years. Australian apprenticeship's far more thorough than any other PGA apprenticeship in the world, because when I went through, we had to play 50 rounds to about a 2 handicap on 50 different golf courses whilst going to university, doing the business course, whilst working 50 hours, 60 hours in a pro shop.
Okay.
It was pretty full on.
Yeah.
And everywhere we played a traineeship, that's all the apprentices get together. Got an invite to play the Bourke Open with actually John Benevolio. He was an author. This is going way back. JB, shout out JB if you're hopefully still playing golf. John Benevolio is one of Australia's best orthopedic surgeons, back surgeon. And he went out to Bourke and fixed up a lot of the local registrars and did some amazing work. Mm-hmm. He said, why don't you come out and play at the Bourke Open with me? I'm the honoree every year. Mm-hmm. Because he's this amazing ortho. And so I went out with JB. We flew a little private Cessna. And we had day one was everyone just turns up, we have a nice big lunch and play. And then there's a Calcutta that night. So it's a 2-day event.
Okay.
And we're playing for like 50, 60 grand.
Wow.
And so I played the first day and I've had like 4 or 5 under for memory. And I was leading as this young, and I'd only been playing golf for like 4 years total. Like I hadn't been playing a lot of golf.
Yeah.
So the Calcutta went nuts. Who's this young bloke? And all the old pros are there.
So after day one, can they bet on day two?
That's all you're betting day two.
Okay.
So my price is going through the roof. Yeah. Everyone's getting loaded.
Hot stock there.
Yeah, everyone's getting loaded. I didn't play well the next day because I'd had a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
But it was bizarre that getting back to sand. Well, I haven't thought about this for 20 years. But sand greens, all the old timers came out on sand greens. Yeah. And they were like, young buck doesn't know what he's doing.
We got this.
And sure enough, they gave me a toweling.
Yeah.
But it was very funny. They're like this young kid, he's put all your money on S Young, and then the old boys came out on the sand greens.
Yeah. Very funny. Experience showed through at the end.
So shout out to Bourke Golf Club, middle of Australia, wonderful community.
That's awesome. What about tee boxes and fairways? Is there big grass involved?
I'm going way back here. Tee boxes, I don't think it was synthetic grass. From memory, it was just dirt.
Just dirt.
Yeah, a little bit of grass if they could, but maybe they had strips. Actually, thinking back, I think they had rectangle strips of synthetic grass and you just moved around.
Oh,
it's a trip.
That's nuts.
It's very cool. One place I want to get to take you, I spent a bit over a year in Edinburgh and I was watching a video that hit my feed. I can't remember what platform. We've got to go trains, planes and automobiles. It's going to take us about a day and a half, but we go way off the tip of north, either west or east Scotland.
Wow.
And you have to take a ferry plus a ferry plus a ferry.
Yeah.
And you're playing this Highlands golf. There, it's on the water. It's spectacular.
That sounds amazing.
We just got to get up there and go play some Highland golf in Scotland. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah.
So sand greens. News from the fairways. That's our news from Bourke Fairways.
Yeah.
News from the fairways. What have we got? Liv didn't play, which is a little...
Nope.
Come on, guys. We want to see some of you. We want to invest.
Yeah.
So Liv didn't play. DP Tour Indian Open was won by a Japanese, Mr. Nakajima.
Up and coming talent.
Yeah. Now, this kid's interesting. He was the world number one amateur.
Mm-hmm.
Then kind of disappears a little. He's only young. He's like 23, 24. Disappears for a little bit. Then wins a Japanese tour event as an amateur, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then just won his first Japanese Tour event on the weekend. Smashed it too. Had 17 under.
Yeah.
Has a pretty, he's won over the last round and everyone else was catching him quickly, but he was so far ahead that he breezed it
just
in.
Just had cruise in.
So yeah, so look out for Keita Nakajima. I think he's therefore got to start in the Masters, I would presume.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. We'd have to check that. But
yeah.
If he just won the Japanese Tour event, I would have thought they would have given him a start. Late
Interesting.
Start.
Okay.
Maybe. So
yeah, that'd be cool.
An eye out for him. That boy can absolutely play.
Yeah.
PGA Tour, that was an interesting.
Yeah, a lot of guys in the mix on the last day there.
Yeah.
Came down to the last putt. Scottie Scheffler missed. And
it's funny.
Steven Yeager,
German, big boy. Gives it a rip.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching, because of you, I'm watching more ball speed, and he's at 183, 184.
Yeah.
He's a big unit. Yeah. He just gets a little bit outside in, gets a little bit on top of it.
Yeah.
He's going to find, I would have thought, a little inconsistency just with his technique, because his torso is moving pretty quickly and across it.
Yeah.
Therefore, he's going to put a lot of spin on the ball, and he's probably going to fight that left to right breeze a little bit. So he'll probably suit the Masters just as a fader.
Yeah, sure.
But you've got to be able to shape it both ways, which obviously he does, but... Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen a lot of him, but he's a big
Me neither. Not too familiar with him, but and pretty clutch through the last day.
And a mate of mine, Skinsey, we talk about, David. Yeah. I'm so proud of Skinsey. He hung in there and was right up until the very end.
Yeah, the last few tournaments, he's been right there, top five, top 10.
Yeah, it's a good on Skinsey.
Pretty cool to see, yeah.
He's a wonderful guy, just a very unassuming, gets it done.
Yeah. And then Nelly Korda with a three-peat on LPGA.
Nelly, so that's... Three tournaments in a row. That's pretty insane. My boy, Mr. Zalatoris, made the cut but looked a little tired.
Yep.
What did he finish? He tied 74th but still made the cut.
Yep, made the cut.
Adds another 50K to his bad week. 50K?
Yeah, not too bad.
Times are tough.
And then Minwuli didn't play, so.
Yeah, he's resting. So most of the guys will program their schedule around the majors. 2 weeks either side. Well, 2 weeks pre-major. Most of the crew won't play unless they're sponsored invites. So quick little backup. To get a PGA Tour event, Swing goes, okay, we'll give you, I don't know what it is now, I think it's around $4 million. So you've got to be a pretty good entity.
Yeah.
But for that X, whatever X is, I think it's around $3 or $4 million, the company have to give. We'll say, well, we'll give you our $5 million, but we want Will Zalatoris, we want Minwoo Lee. And there's a requirement when a company provides revenue or provides cash flow to create a PGA Tour event, that company want the big boys.
Yeah.
So the events either side of majors usually don't have the big players, therefore they don't get the big purses. Mm-hmm. And flipping back to a player's point of view, I remember playing with Chris Riley. I played with him in a Aussie Open pre-Q. Now, Chris just disappeared. I don't know whatever happened to Chris. And Roger Tambellini, there's two names I haven't thought about for 20 years. Chris used to play, he was a up-and-coming PGA, same age as me. He'd be about 46 now, I would have thought, a couple of years younger than me. But Chris played the 2 weeks either side of the majors, pre and post, and found that because the fields were diminished, he could actually get points, and he did that for 4 years and slowly got points up, and all of a sudden he's PGA Tour exempt.
Yeah, good strategy.
Really good strategy.
Yeah.
So while everyone else was trying to play the majors, Chris said, look, I'm an up-and-coming. I'll actually play. I won't play the majors for 4 years.
Tournaments.
But try and get my PGA Tour
maybe
card.
The field a little less.
Feel a little less intense.
Strong with the big names. Not that the other guys can't go low, but really interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And then Chris kind of got his tour card. I don't know if he ever won a PGA Tour event. Ping player used to have the best short game I've ever seen. Getting back to short game, he was a flopper and I was a chip and runner.
Okay.
And he would fly everything with these wickedly beautiful hands and just stop it. Stop it from everywhere. And played on PGA Tour and dig well. So getting back to a three-peat.
It's been done.
The boss tells us that Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, 2017.
Last tour to win three in a row. He won the Genesis, the Mexico, and then beat John Rahm in the Dell match play.
Yeah, pretty cool. Different set of tournaments too.
Yeah.
He's just on a hot streak.
And then both those players are now on LIV.
Yep, that's right.
It's going to be interesting this week. We're going to get back to Nelly in a second, so don't want to diminish Nelly's three victories, which is just insane. But
yeah,
the Masters is a week late.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about a little more of that next week. But we do have the LIV guys coming back. And to our point, LIV haven't played a lot of golf this year so far.
Yeah.
We talk about it a lot in here and everyone's like, who would you like to see win the Masters? And I'm like, look, I just want a good event. But
yeah,
I've got to think the LIV guys are going to struggle because they're just not tournament ready.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I was really happy last year just to know that we had a LIV and PGA guys in like the final group and kind of going against each other. It just kind of fed into the whole storyline that was going on, kept going wrong against each other, which was cool. So I'm sure it's going to be, you know,
pretty competitive and exciting. It'll be really interesting.
The Masters kind of brings out either the best or worst in you, it seems. So,
so awesome. Like yesterday, I watched the Sunday on a Monday because I'm usually teaching most of Sunday, and they were going on and on about Tony Finau and the chap he was playing with. They had Biff and they were noticeably aggressive towards each other. And it would be interesting to see how the LIV guys gel, because we know they live in the same communities, golf communities. Yeah. You know, Dustin has all his mates on main tour. But there's an underlying niggle, and it's going to be interesting at the Masters. I hope it doesn't. I hope they just play golf and they don't talk about it too much, because I just love the Masters for the event.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. Getting back to Nelly, what an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah.
Three PGA Tour wins in a row.
A chance to do four. I don't know if she'll be the next event she plays in, but could go for four and more. Who knows?
So why do we think ladies have this ability to play golf? And that's what we wanted to bring to the table today.
Yeah.
Why someone like Nelly is so remarkably consistent. And most of the LPGAs, if you ever see an LPGA Tour event, ball flight is pretty straight most of the time.
Yeah, and tons of fairways hit. They're really consistent, like you said. It's super impressive.
So we wanted to bring it back from anecdotal to actual factual.
Yep.
And I said to SJ on the last couple of days, so why would you think from a physiological point of view that ladies are better? And we haven't spoken, so I'm interested to see what you...
Yeah, so just one piece of it, and this is something I think that's generally kind of accepted, but women on average are more flexible, especially if we're just talking about hip flexibility, than men. So
why is that?
I think the biggest thing is just with our anatomical structure and women being built to birth children, then they have a little different setup in the way the bones develop in the hips as opposed to men.
Sure.
So hard to say exactly where that comes from, of course, but you know, I said it's generally accepted. I was like, of course, women are more flexible than men on average, but there's actual data behind that and the differences in how much more flexible.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an interesting time yesterday, and Sean met mom and my sister, and I've got about 68 degrees of internal rotation on both my hips, right? Crazy mobility. And we had Mum in here yesterday.
Yeah.
God bless Margie. She's 80. Mum played tennis with us on Saturday for about 2 hours at the age of 80.
Yep.
She's rocking and rolling. And then my sister had a lesson yesterday. And I said, Mum, I'm going to get you on the bench. And we measured Mum's internal rotation.
Yeah.
And my dear old Margaret has about 75 to 80 degrees of internal rotation in her hips.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
So that's where you get it from.
And then Anna has it as well. Anna's got about 60 degrees of internal rotation. And that's where I get it from.
Which is massive. So I did pull up, but just to give people some data on this, just the differences. So this is the difference in a high quality study I found that's, I think, trustworthy. That tells you for flexion, abduction, adduction. So legs in, legs out.
Yeah, let's explain that just quickly.
Yep. So flexion, everyone knows, bring your knee to your chest. Then for abduction and adduction is when your leg goes toward the midline of your body.
Right.
And then abduction, abduction, is your leg goes out away from the midline of your body.
And why would you use those in day-to-day
life? So that's weight
life?
Transfer left to right. So even when you're walking, you shift your weight onto the right side. When you're swinging your left leg forward, then you shift back to the left when you swing your right leg forward.
Okay, so abduction and adduction is a daily use.
Yeah, big time. And I think it's overlooked because it's much smaller, noticeable range of motion, but massively important for the golf.
Getting back to our Zoolander, got to move a little bit.
Yeah. Got to let the hips swing a little.
So getting back to Charlie Hoffman, who we spoke about weeks ago, you could argue that his adduction and abduction is a little restricted just by the way he walks. He's like a brick wall.
Yeah, I mean, I would put money his left hip adduction, so knee going towards his midline or leg going towards his midline, would be restricted.
Yeah, I love what we're doing here. We're talking about different things in the golf industry. So that's cool.
So you don't see him shift weight when he walks. He's like a plank of wood walking down the street. Okay. But anyways, back to the others, the internal and external rotation. So in all five of these range of motions, excluding extension, which is your leg kicking back behind you, all five of those they found differences, significant ones, from men versus women. And in all of them, women have more range of motion. So for flexion, it was, you know, 6.44 degrees. Abduction out to the side was just under 3 degrees. Adduction coming inwards is just over 3 degrees. Internal rotation, this is the big one that we always focus on for golf in particular. Most biggest change here is 8.18 degrees difference. Women on average have more than men. And then external rotation, a little bit less at 3.5.
Sure.
So that internal rotation, biggest finding and the thing we spend probably the most time working on.
Yeah.
Pretty big difference.
And that's why we're trying to change the discussion on, you've really got to look at your body and look at, so, you know, we had generations, two generations, mum and my sister and I, and obviously that's where we get it from, my mum, who's quite knock-kneed, I'm very knock-kneed, and has this insane internal rotation. It's really nice to have, I mean, it was so funny. I think you were with a patient, but we got the poor old girl to lie on face down on the bench, bend her legs up at 90. She's like, Christ, what's my son getting me to do? He's, he's lost the plot.
Up for this.
And then these legs just went literally parallel to the ground.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And I'm like, bloody hell, Margaret, you've got some hip mobility. Yeah. And mum never really got into sport, but I suggested that she should have. Like, she was built to play sport.
Yeah, rotational-based sport. Yeah, rotational-based sport. Serious potential,
It was really cool. Mm-hmm. So they got a bit of a snapshot on what swing's about and their crazy son, who maybe they don't think is crazy anymore. But what we did want to discuss and bring it back to is, here's an interesting dichotomy we've got. We do things really differently, and I'm really proud of that in here. And one of the biggest kind of roadblocks we're hitting is that ladies will look at myself just based on clubs now, but coming from a hip mobility point of view, ladies in 99% of golf facilities that I've ever seen, and certainly golf clubs, courses, will use ladies' golf clubs.
Yeah.
And that's the fundamental flaw. So I think we've got a group of ladies who are built, correct me if I'm wrong, to play this game far more than us guys.
And particularly to rotate, which, hey, rotational-based sport. So
the more one rotates, the less the face changes, the less the face changes, face less than path, you'll break 80.
And consistency, right?
All
face doesn't
day
need to
long
open and close much because you can just rotate the body through it.
But the irony is that the golf industry, because we're so one-dimensional, where swing is so fundamentally different, we get ladies into stiff men's flexed golf clubs, but lighter, obviously, for a little bit of a lighter gram weight. But we're getting ladies using X-Flex in here. Why? Because they can turn.
Yeah.
And so my ladies think I'm nuts. They're like, oh, I'm not good enough to use an X-Flex because X-Flex or stiff is associated with being good, whereas what you and I always say, X-Flex is dispersion less because the hip mobility creates more range of motion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to fundamentally change the way ladies golf clubs. Ladies on the whole should never use ladies flex golf clubs. It's ridiculous.
Shouldn't exist.
Shouldn't exist. Yeah. Because when that lady who's hypermobile creates speed, Newton's third law, every action has an opposite reaction, when they turn their lead hip, the face opens.
Yep.
And if they have ladies clubs, then there's a, whether it's your mum, my mum, or the boss, Rosie. And so we're trying to say, hey, don't get ladies golf clubs. You should have a set of golf clubs that are fit for you because you've got hip mobility.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have the capacity to rotate and keep the face very stable, the last thing you'd want is a whippy club that gets rid of
club.
That. It's very counterproductive, actually.
So we actually find that the ladies are the ones who get more frustrated, probably, and I'm anecdotally talking here, is because their golf shafts are so damn whippy. Every time they turn, the face opens.
Yeah. And it's funny to think about, too. So I think women's clubs and especially left-handed people's clubs are hard to find.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Just in general. And my wife, Marie, is a lefty. And my parents managed to find a set of clubs for her. And I think if you were to look at these, you might actually get sick.
Yes,
they
right
are
there?
The most offset whippy clubs I've ever seen. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
that they were even made in the first place. I'll have to bring one in so you can just...
So then, let's be serious for a sec. So then you've got someone like Marie who's working her backside off a job, and we've got someone who wants to get into the golf industry, but she's going to have offset mm-hmm. golf clubs left-handed. They're going to be super whippy, so that's screaming face open to path.
Yeah.
And then someone who's... Marie's very sporty, and then she'll get frustrated and be like, oh, well, bugger this, I'll go do something else.
Yeah, or it's just going to encourage her to go steep over the top, yeah, open space. And you kind of wonder why it's such a common pattern is if people get put from the start into super whippy clubs, then it makes no sense for them to have a very nice inside out, face closed to path swing.
We see this every single day. I'd say 8 out of 10 people I see have the wrong clubs. Wrong meaning offset, shafts too heavy.
Yeah.
I've got a young chap in who's got these gold-plated irons that I was doing lies and lofts yesterday.
Yeah.
This kid's using 123-gram golf shafts, and I suggested we put in 100-gram golf shafts, 20 grams lighter, mm-hmm. and twice as stiff. And it's like, again, the whole industry is, I'm not good enough to play X-Flex. So we're trying to change the narrative and say, approach your golf clubs like a game of physics. Mm-hmm. Cause and effect. The stiffer the club, the less dispersion, the straighter you hit it. The lighter the club, the faster it moves, the faster you move, the longer you hit it.
Yeah, and it's something that I think until you feel it or hit a club like this compared to what if you do have said whippy shafts and heavy ones, then you don't really know until you feel it, but it's hard to get it out of your head once you do. But I like how a lot of times you tell people, look, okay, let's build one club for you. We'll build a 7-iron.
Yeah.
Same light, stiff shaft, not offset head, and just hit this a few times. And, you know, time and time again, people say, all right, let's do it, whole thing, because it's so different.
So bring it back to the ladies. We know that the actual infrastructure around the game for ladies golf is appalling, and we really want to change that. Anecdotally, ladies, I mean, Rosie, you can do a lot more than I can do. Ladies can multitask far better than men.
Marie would agree.
Yeah. The boss is like, dude, can't you do more than one thing at a time? So the ladies are so much more multitask dominant than we are. They've got hips that move, yet across the board, the equipment's not up to the challenge of how good their physiology is mm-hmm. to play the game. So shout out to all the ladies. Guys, go play golf. Like, it's as simple as that. Ladies should play golf.
Yeah, yeah. And for those also on the other side, if you're thinking, oh, well, I'm a man, I'm pretty stiff, there's very easy ways to improve your hip mobility.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to have what you've been given genetically, but in a perfect world, everyone has access to their full range of motion anatomically. And that's a pretty easy thing to achieve, actually. So in the future, we'll surely talk more about that. But yeah, start working on your hip mobility and you'll see your swing change without having to think too much.
And if I basically do all the screening and then SJ creates plans of improvement. But if I find someone who's got internal 30 and internal 45, you're going to always suggest that they should have the same range of motion.
Yeah. So
most of the time.
Yeah, in situations where there's no like formation of the bones that's out of sorts in an abnormal way or a pathology like you have a big injury, or something
hip
physiologically
carb,
wrong,
blah, blah, blah.
Then everyone should have equal internal rotation, at least within a few degrees.
And that's so, something you can measure pretty easily, as
we
did last week.
Very easy to measure, yeah. And we see this all the time. Whenever there's a difference side to side that's very noticeable, you know, almost 100% of the time, you can fix that in about 30 minutes and get it back to even, where you're just able to access your range of motion. And there's always, you know, things we can test to improve on that. But it all depends on where you actually are so that you're doing the right things to address it. And that's the tricky part is we can't tell everyone listening to this, hey, everyone do these things because it could work for some people, it won't work for others. But it all depends on where your hips actually stand and what's stopping them from having true rotation
and then
rotation.
My sister has crazy internal, but she was a little tight like me externally. So as a right-handed golfer, Anna's trail hip, her right hip, was a little tight. I'm extremely tight externally. Again, thanks, Margie, we're knock-kneed. So my sister's been taking about 10 weeks of lessons. They probably did 3 or 4 weeks on the grip.
Yep.
Yesterday in about 15 minutes, we had Anna hitting high bomb draws coming from the inside 8 degrees face of about 4 or 5. She's crushing high bomb draws and she would have spent back in Australia 4 weeks on the grip. And I'm like, we do things really differently in here. We're not too pedantic on any one topic, but we talk straight into, I asked Anne's did they talk anything about face and path? And she said, I have no idea what you're talking about. So we explained, we use a clock in here because a clock analogy is really easy to get someone to understand how to come from the inside 15 face 10 or inside 10 face 8 or inside 2, either big hook, little draw and dead straight. And within 10 minutes, Anna's hitting these butter draws, big hooks,
because
she understood the face to path conversation, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So try not to get bogged down in, I've got to have grip for 2 weeks and I'm going to have setup. Anna was taught to splay both her feet, but after looking at her external rotation, we actually got her trail foot to be nice and parallel
square,
nice and square. We opened Anna's lead foot because her left hip, you know, we can always use a little more hip mobility.
Yep.
So we changed our approach based on science and what we've measured, not what we've read in a book.
Yeah. Maybe it's kind of nice because it takes the judgment out of it. It's like you see something in one of the tests and you say, okay, well, this needs to be addressed. And so you address it.
And then we move on.
Yeah. And then move on to the next
thing. I wish Anna specifically could work with you. She broke her ankle. Actually, poor thing got hit in New York City about 5 or 6 years ago. And she broke her right femur.
Oh, really?
And she's got some stability issues based on that.
Yeah, sure.
Unfortunately, she was only in the city for a day, but next time we'll get it. Beauty golfers, look, thanks for listening to Pivot the Path and joining us here. And with the work you put into your game, you can absolutely own your swing.
Yeah. So thank everybody again for listening. Subscribe and share it with anybody you think needs to know a little bit about their hips. And we'll be back next week with more.